Blog Talk Radio.
Pour yourself a cup of tea, put your feet up, and relax. Show host Randy Fine, narcissistic abuse expert, compassionate counselor for clients worldwide, and author of the groundbreaking new book, Close Encounters of the Worst Kind, invites you into her sanctuary, a place where your emotional, physical, and spiritual well-being are all that matters. Time to Heal is a fundraising single written and performed by Johnny Z for the Amy Winehouse Foundation. For more information, please go to johnnymusic.com, johnnymusic.com. And now, it's time to meet Randy, show host of the podcast enjoyed by fans around the globe, A Fine Time for Healing.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. This is your show host, Randy Fine. I have something really interesting for you today, and it's probably something you have not heard about, and that makes it very exciting. Did you know that you have a unique internal design for wealth? That the formula is encoded in your soul blueprint, and like your fingerprint, it's unlike that of any other human being. It's called your sacred wealth code, and it is written in the universal language of purpose and prosperity. And here to explain that with us, we have Prema Lee Guerrieri. She is one who empowers leaders, entrepreneurs, visionaries, and change agents to take inspired action and unlock their sacred wealth code. Using her intuitive approach to business building and her patented solutionary technology, that's right, solutionary, Prema's clients manifest wealth and create meaningful lives by doing what they are meant to do. She lives by what she teaches and has created her own highly successful business using the same principles, archetypes, and practices outlined in this book that she's going to talk about today, which is also called Your Sacred Wealth Code, Unlock Your Soul Blueprint for Purpose and Prosperity. Well, I want to learn more, and I know that you do, so let's get started. I'm going to introduce you to our guest. Good morning, Prema.
Good morning. Thanks so much for having me. I'm thrilled to be here with you.
Oh, thank you. I'm thrilled to have you. This is a very interesting topic, and, of course, one I haven't discussed before. So you say that we all have this unique design and internal formula for attracting wealth. How is that so?
Well, we're all encoded in I look at people's soul blueprints, and I use it through the art and science of Vedic astrology. And there's lots of different ways to tune into your soul blueprint. I believe that we're energy first, that we're spiritual beings having a human experience, and that on a spiritual level, you know, we're, I want to say, like, wired up in particular ways. I mean, you're different than I am, and if we look at each and every one of us, we all have unique qualities about us. We all have unique gifts and talents about us. And really, your sacred wealth code, It is encoded in your soul blueprint. It is directly connected to your divine gifts, the things that you are uniquely brilliant at, whether you're aware of them or not, just in the way that you are, and that each and every one of us, you know, can uniquely do. So we all aren't the same. We don't have the same, you know, there's no two humans that are exactly the same. And even identical twins, you know, have their differences, in fact, you know, in how they are. So that's true for all of us. So when we know how we are designed for wealth, when we know how we're designed for even like the kind of exercise we eat, the kind of foods that really work for us, we all have this unique design. And when we're in tune with that, which really your unique design for wealth, which is found at the intersection of purpose and prosperity, when we know what that is, then we can live in alignment with what's uniquely our path and attract and create the kind of wealth that is truly meaningful for us personally.
Now, when we think of wealth, we think of money. What is your definition of wealth?
My definition of wealth is everything you need to fulfill your purpose. That comes strongly from my background in energy and in Vedic astrology. So it's interesting, in your Vedic astrology chart, which is similar and different in some ways from Western astrology, but we're talking about constellations that you're familiar with and houses. But you have three purpose houses, and each one of those three purpose houses is followed by a wealth house. And the true definition of, like, why would you need to acquire? Why would you need to? Why would you need prosperity? Well, the deeper definition for me is to fulfill your purpose. In order to have what you need, the knowledge, the resources, even the relationships sometimes that you need in order to do what you've come here to do, to, you know, be uniquely you and give your gifts in the world. And that only equates to money so much because that's our common currency of exchange. We can have a whole conversation about the energy of money. But truly, if we look at what the money is what we're exchanging it for. When we come down to, so like for instance, I know someone who has an incredible amount of money compared to what most people have, you know, in the multi-million dollar range. And, you know, if his stocks aren't doing well, his investments aren't doing well, he does not feel wealthy. And then I know people who have a job that feels secure to them, a career that fulfills them, a home that they love living in. Maybe it's paid off. Maybe they have a certain amount of money in the bank, and they feel incredibly, incredibly wealthy. You see, it's very different for each and every one of us what our own personal definition of wealth is, and wealth is actually laced with fulfillment. So it's not just what you have. It's uniquely what you've acquired that gives you what you need to feel the way you actually want to feel, and fulfillment, satisfaction is a big part of that.
Okay. Now, so reaching this wealth code, our sacred wealth code, is it about reaching our full potential? I know it is about fulfillment. Is it about reaching our full potential, or is it more about, like you said, just being content with what we have and where we are?
I think it's about reaching our full potential. I think it's about really accept. So, you know, so everyone hang in with us, because we'll keep unpacking this, because it's actually a really big subject. And I teach this in a lot of different ways with my clients and in groups and in retreats and in my Sacred Wealth Code book. So just be patient with us, and we'll keep peeling the layers back. So where I find your purpose and prosperity planets, where they intersect in your soul blueprint, in your Vedic astrology chart, is where I also find that your divine gifts are. Now, this is an actual, in Vedic astrology, where your purpose and prosperity planets come together. That is where we find a certain aspect. It's called Dhana Yogas. I've broken things down into Western terms we can understand. But these Dhana Yogas are literally where we find wealth and the meaning of wealth for someone personally. So after looking at this for years, it started to speak to me more in an archetypal language. I started to see that this is really where people's highest value gifts, that the gifts that we have when we express them to the world tends to respond back to us, and we have that sense of feeling wealthy. So and when we get into the four pillars, if we do, this we'll be able to break this down more. But your divine gifts are the things that you have, or I call them your superpowers, the things that you do, and only the way that you do them. And you may not even be aware of the full potential of your gifts or what your gifts are that will actually bring you wealth, because we have a lot of gifts. But the gifts that are within your sacred wealth code are the ones that literally unlock, I want to say like unlock a part or something that the world actually needs and wants, and that you have the key for that. And unfortunately, with a lot of cultural conditioning and programming and trauma that we've been through, that, and even soul challenges, that we don't always, aren't always in touch with those gifts, or maybe don't feel like that's what the world really wants from us. Like, I hid the fact that I'm an intuitive for many, many years. And that's, in fact, one of the things that people really came to me for, no matter what, whether I was teaching yoga, whether I was helping people with soul purpose, whatever, whether I was doing Vedic astrology, they really were coming for that deep intuitive guidance that I naturally, it's one of my great gifts, but it was something that I hid for a long time. And when I stepped into that gift, and it's because some of my internal wiring and combination, we all have intuition, but I just happen to have certain gifts in that can be really helpful for others. Well, when I pulled the veil back on that and stepped out with that divine gift, well, the world, not only did the world respond within, you know, clients and opportunities and those things, but also like wealth financially, and also opportunities for me to, like, even write this book to give more of that intuitive guidance. So yes, your sacred wealth code is not, it's not just about money, it's not just about acquiring. That's just, if you want just acquiring, let's just look at prosperity. And there's lots of different ways to acquire, and in fact, in some ways, that's what our culture is stuck in, is in that place of acquisition. But we're talking about wealth. That is, that, you know, is you bringing the best of you forward and the world responding back to you to support you in continuing to bring the best of you forward.
So you say in Chapter 6, you say when you live in and operate from your high-valued gifts, you are literally positioning yourself in a house that overlooks the intersection of your passion and prosperity. And to make that a little simpler, you say, when you don't use your high-value gifts, it's like buying real estate on a different corner. You may be near the road of your passion or the road of prosperity, but you're not in your soul's neighborhood. I really like the way you said that, because that really explains so much in layman's terms.
You know, it does, and if you don't mind, I think it would be really useful if we just take a quick walk through the four pillars of your sacred wealth code, because
absolutely, we were going to get that, so let's go ahead, right for it.
Yeah, well, because that comes from that what you just said is absolutely, it gives a great metaphor. So how do we even know how to get out? You know, what are we talking about, these houses, these streets of purpose and prosperity? Well, in the sacred wealth code book, I'm just sort of tuning into the audience here, that intuitive part. And yes, I look at people's Vedic astrology charts. Yes, I give you your soul blueprint, but also I teach you how, I give you your sacred wealth code, but I also teach you how to actually embody it, use it, get over the blocks that keep you from it. In my book, I have created it's a guidebook. It is a workbook, playbook, a storybook, all of those things. It's a journey you take with yourself, with somebody else, and I've come up with a way that you can actually tune into your sacred wealth code on your own, because I believe we're all connected to our soul blueprint. We're aware of it. We're not always consciously aware that we're aware of it, but I really, really take a stand for that. We all have the answers within us, and we're all intuitive. And we're all sensing and feeling all the time, so I want to help to open you up to that. So this, what I'm going to discuss with you now, is in the book, and it's part of the journey for you to discover your own sacred wealth code. And the first pillar of your sacred wealth code is is called Your Purpose, Harnessing Your Soul's Big Why. Now, first we, in the whole process, we first understand what wealth is personally to us, and Randy and I were just talking about that. And then we have to understand, like, why do we want that wealth? You see, anything that, when you understand why you want, why you do something, why you want something, you've got the purpose. So if you write down the equation, why equals purpose, or purpose equals why, and you use that, you really start to understand, like the purpose of anything you're doing. But the purpose you want wealth is very, very important. So your purpose is your big why, and it's the driving force behind your thoughts, your choices, your actions. And it's present whether you recognize it or not and whether you understand it or not. So if you're alive, purpose is very, very present in your life. And when you know you want something, you'll, you know, take that action to get it. So here's the thing is about the first pillar, the intersection of purpose and prosperity. I want you to think of that as an intersection with two streets, okay? And we'll flesh out this metaphor for you. Purpose is your vehicle. The purpose that you, why you want wealth, is the vehicle that's going to get you to that intersection, okay? You have to have a, you know, a reason to get there, and that's that purpose, that reason that you even want to create wealth for yourself. So if we get into the deeper reasons and really dig down, which I help you to do in this part of the book, like for me, for instance, one of my big reasons for wealth is freedom. The freedom at the level of have anything, do anything, gift anyone, grow my business in any way that I want to, but freedom also to completely free myself up to be my gifts. And not, and so that also means whatever I need to do to take care of myself, to get past my blocks. It's freedom on every sense of the word of freedom. And you'll also, in the first pillar, discover really, like, why do you really want that wealth? In the second pillar of your sacred wealth code is called your passion. It's the essence of fulfillment. And working with purpose alone is kind of like sitting with your vehicle, your car, running with the engine off. You know where you're headed and why you're going, but you're not actually moving yet. And that's where passion comes in. And passion is, the, like I said, the second pillar. And it's the fuel for your purpose. It's the fuel. It's like the horsepower for your purpose. Passion is what gets your motor running, and it's your portal to pleasure, to joy, to fulfillment. And the natural state, the natural soul state of your being. So you need to be connected to your passion. And, you know, we talk about, and you've heard a lot about, like, just follow your passion. That's great if you know what your passion is. But I'm talking about passion in a little bit different way. So if you're in your gifts, it is likely, if you're using your gifts, it's likely you're going to be in your passion. You want to be in your passion daily, because when you're in your passion, you're using your passion, whether you love skydiving, whether you love knitting, whether you love reading, whether you're like me, I have to get in, you know, I love to hike and be in nature and do yoga, whatever your passion is, if you're in it regularly, that means you're in that soul state where your sacred wealth code is. It's a soul state. And if you notice when you're in your passion, that's a lot of times when your amazing ideas pop through. It doesn't have to be doing what your gift is or doing what your work is in the world. It can be something different, but it's that juice that it will enliven you. Like, I could be at a great dance performance and be so inspired by somebody else being in their passion that it ignites my passion for doing what I do in the world. So you have to feed yourself regularly with your passion so that you're in the soul state of your sacred wealth code. And then the third pillar is your high-value gifts, wielding your superpowers. So the reason why I call them your highest-value gifts, your divine gifts, your superpowers, these are the gifts that, when you use them, will also be highly valued by the world, highly valued. So that's, you know, these are the ones that really can connect you with what wealth is to you, what it personally is to you. So at that junction of purpose and prosperity, again, think of that as an intersection, and the your purpose is the vehicle to get you there, your passion is the fuel for that vehicle. And at that intersection, when you actually live and operate from your high-value gifts, you're literally positioning yourself in a house like that overlooks that intersection. And if you are not, as Randy brought up earlier, if you're not, then you're like in some other neighborhood and you're not near your passion. And just feel into that for a moment, because I'm sensing that's starting to ping for some people. Like, oh, like my passion's over there. My purpose is over there. I don't know what my purpose is, but it's not here what I'm doing. And, you know, and here I am over in a place where I don't really feel like it's my place to be. So that's why it's so important to know what your gifts are and to get on this road to being and using your highest value gifts. Because it's like when you're using your highest value gifts, when you're connected with them, again, this is that, as I mentioned earlier, it's like the key that unlocks something that only you can unlock in the world. And I have to say, with the energy of 2017 and really beyond, but where we are now, more than ever, this has always been the case, but more than ever, we are being called at a deep soul level to step forward with our gifts. The world needs what we have, each and every one of us, more than ever. And what we're seeing that's dissatisfying, that we don't, you know, that's not working for us in the world, you know, it is an expression collectively of what's happening at some level for all of us, and we're all processing that. So the more we'd like to change, you know, what we want to change in the world, the best way to do it, I believe, is to don't push against anything. Realize that this is what is, and in order to change it, step into being, as Randy mentioned, your full potential. Step into your gifts, and that's why I'm so passionate about this work, and clear the blocks that are keeping you from it, which we'll talk about in the next pillar, so that you are giving what you've come here to give. And the beautiful thing about your highest value gifts is that, first of all, they're yours and yours alone. Only you can do them in the way that you can do them. And that when you start to use your high-value gifts, and maybe you already are in some ways, but they're an ever-expanding edge, just like this universe is ever-expanding. And your desires are part of what expand it. And we have to be careful about our desires, because the universe will expand in whatever, it's neutral, it'll expand in whatever direction, will create realities in whatever direction our desires are aimed. So when you are using your gifts, you're not going to get bored with your gifts, and neither is the world, because the more and more you're in them and using them, the more they'll expand, the more you'll discover, the more creative you will be with them, the more they'll shift and morph and change to what's needed at the time. And it's just an amazing journey, and you will always be on your purposeful path if you're using your gifts, because your gifts are laced with your purpose. So even if you don't know exactly what your purpose is, then by understanding what your gifts are and starting to use them, you will be on your purposeful path, and you will discover what your, let's say, ultimate purpose is. And that's a great way to really start to work with that and discover that. Or if you know what your purpose is, but maybe you're not fully actualizing it, by starting to use your gifts and stepping in and really unveiling them and getting a little more bold with them and really stepping into your full potential, your purpose will just take off like lightning, like you can't even imagine. So we do have one more pillar, but I'm going on here, so I want to stop and break and see if Randy needs anything from me, or you want to say anything, Randy.
Oh, thank you. No, I was just listening. It's very interesting. What I was thinking is, so some people might be thinking this. I try to think for my listeners. So while you're trying to follow your path, and you sometimes have to support that journey with things that are not always exactly what you want to do. Isn't that correct?
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Totally, totally get that one. Thank you for bringing that up. You do. So there's a couple ways to work with that. One is, okay, so like for instance, let me just tell you a quick story that will help. So one of my clients Tom, he was working in a career that it was using some of his gifts, but he was frustrated with the company. He had a pretty high-level position. He was working in security, internal security, and he had changed and worked with a startup. But he was also really frustrated because he was bored on one level. He kept getting sort of stymied on another level where he just, you know, what he really wanted to be doing in the company, they weren't that interested in that. And so he was not happy going to work every day. And so when we got him connected with his gifts, which also connected him with more of his purpose, he started to infuse his gifts into what he was already doing. So this is the part I want you to hear. If you're doing something that you don't love doing and you're sort of building this other purposeful path, especially as a career or as a business, and I work with people all the time on this, then you start to infuse those gifts into what you're already doing, and you're going to find that people are going to respond to you differently. You're going to like the work more than you did before. New opportunities may arise. So what he started to do is he started to infuse the fact that he is an incredible connector. Okay, he's a great leader, which the leadership position wasn't there for him, and he eventually moved to another company, which I'll tell you about. But the connection part, he's really, really, he's a great connector. In fact, was a musician as well. So he started to bring his connector in because he saw that the people in the company weren't making, the meetings weren't going well, the right connections weren't happening. So he started to lead that up. And in that, he started to feel not only more on purpose, he started to feel more satisfied, and he started to trust and see, you know, his gifts in action. Now, as he did that, he also realized, you know, the company isn't going where he wanted to. So he went out and looked for another opportunity, and it was great because right away he landed an opportunity with a company that not only allowed him to come in and do the technical stuff that he was so good at, but also put him in a leadership position. And in that leadership, and any leader, if you have the archetype of the leader, and we'll talk about archetypes, you know, being a good connector is really important. If you don't have that archetype, you need a learned skill of that, because you need to be able to connect with others so that you can teach them how to lead as well. So he was able to then move into a position that used all of his gifts. But meanwhile, he was able to make peace with where he was by starting bringing some of his gifts into what he was doing.
Okay. Get it.
That makes sense?
That explains it. Now, for those people, because there's so many people who are unemployed in the United States, and they're trying desperately to find a way to just, you know, hold down the fort, to keep their homes, to keep their livelihood, to eat, you know. What do you tell people like that are just not finding what it is they're looking for?
Well, getting in touch with your sacred wealth code and is incredibly important, because sometimes what you're looking for isn't really what's for you. So when you start to align with your sacred wealth code, and you start to align with your gifts, and you start to use them, and you start to tune in with your sacred wealth code archetypes, which we'll talk about, one of the things that happens is you just start, you know, opportunities start to appear. It's like, again, in that situation, a lot of times that you're in the wrong neighborhood. You're not poised at that intersection of purpose and prosperity. Now, we all have trauma. We all have challenges. I've been there. I have lost absolutely everything. I have been down on my knees in the dark night of my soul more than one time. I've lived on my own since I was 15 and had to figure it out. And I get it. It is not, so I don't want to make small of this. It's not easy when you're not finding that position. And I think that's why more and more I encourage people, and I work with a lot of people, budding entrepreneurs, because we really need to make our own economy, especially with where things are going and with the downsizing of things and the automation of things. So being in touch with your gifts and starting to use them, what it'll do for you, though, even if you're looking for a job, is it'll start to open up your horizons. It'll start to open up opportunities that you didn't see, because imagine being on a radio dial and, you know, 96 94.5 FM is your station. That's where you're going to find your perfect opportunity. But you're over on 94.3. So, you know, you're not really coming through fully, just like the station wouldn't come fully through. So working with your Sacred Wealth Code helps you to align. In fact, one of my clients just recently in my Sacred Wealth Circle, which is a program about how do I use my Sacred Wealth Code. She's looking for a new position. She's doing a temporary position, and she didn't get the position she was up for, and she was down for a moment about that. And I said, you know, I always believe it's this or something better. So I said, the thing is to stay in the game, and what are your gifts that you can bring forward now? So she went ahead and did that, and we did a couple clearing processes with her because a lot of it is sweeping off the path of challenges that you've had to go through in the programming. And so, and now she's up for a position that's so much better than the one that she's glad she didn't get the other one. So using your gifts, and even it's just one step at a time. And also my heart goes out to you if you're in that position. I know what it's like. And there's something in everything we go through, there's something in it for you. So embrace that, which we'll talk about in the fourth pillar here. Embrace that challenge you're going through and really ask it, like, what's in this for me? What am I here to learn, to embrace? Maybe you're looking for a position or a job that's so really not in your realm. You're like, your gifts are so much more than that, and you need to get the courage to step into that.
Okay. Thank you for that. Thank you. That's inspirational and helpful to so many people. Okay, so let's move into the fourth pillar.
Great. That's a great segue into the fourth pillar, which is your greatest challenges, the unexpected gateway to wealth. So, you have these divine gifts, you have these superpowers, and the analogy I use is just like superpowers, you also have challenges. Superheroes, you also have challenges. You think about any superhero, you know, there's the challenge that they have to break through, right? So when you start accessing your high-value gifts, it can feel like your challenges are blocking you from fully engaging with your gifts, or your gifts are flowing beautifully, but every time you use them, your challenges show up simultaneously. It's kind of like the annoying evil twins. So your challenges aren't bad, and they're not part of some cosmic plot to block you from your gifts. They're part of your journey, and they're designed to help you to grow stronger, dig in deeper, and connect you to what you truly believe in. So some of your challenges are soul choices. I see it in people's soul blueprints. Like if we didn't have anything to work with, just because we live in this physical reality as well as being spiritual beings, sort of wrestle with, just like a tree, when you prune a tree, then it's challenged a bit, but then it can grow stronger. We choose some soul challenges and ways to develop ourselves on a soul level. But then we all also have that programming collectively that we've taken on that we don't even know we signed up for those beliefs. They are just pumped through the media, through our families. We also have the beliefs we've taken on that are limiting us from someone telling you that, oh, you can't make money doing that. Maybe you're an artist, or maybe as a child, I see this all the time, you stepped out in some way, maybe it was with one of your gifts, were a little courageous in some way, and you got shot down. And that can be, you know, a lifetime of hiding in that way. So your challenges are, there's something in it for you. It's a place to actually grow yourself. And why I say that the unexpected gateway is because next to your greatest challenges, there is a great gift within every challenge. Just like in the natural world, the poisonous plant has the antidote growing right next to it. So if everyone think about a challenge you've been through in the past where you have some distance on it and you can see the blessing in it. So when I had my Yoga and Healing Arts Center, which I tell this story in my book, Yoga and Beyond, the Yoga of Life, I'd been teaching yoga and doing spiritual work and soul purpose work for a while. And then I was renting a studio space, and I had a small studio at home. And my husband came home and said, okay, I found the building. You've got to get this building. We have to do this. So I took it on. This was a 3,500 square foot amazing building. We built out the second and third floor, healing practitioner rooms, just state of the art, just beautiful light in every room, two yoga studios. I was training teachers. I was doing my soul purpose work. I had gotten into the Vedic astrology. I had healing practitioners there. I'd built a beautiful community. And I was about 4 years into a 5-year lease, and about year three, things were really starting to crumble. I had a 6-figure in sales business, but not much of that was coming to me with overhead and expenses and getting into the business. My marriage was starting to crumble. I had 4 kids between us, so we had a Brady Bunch family, and I was looking at every way I could look at to make the center profitable for me as well, not just profitable for the community and for the, everyone who was working there. So I tried to take a partner on. I did every piece of inner work I could get my hands on. And I tried to sell the business. We even tried to make it a nonprofit. And you know what? Everything I tried, it just didn't work. And I kept being the message I kept getting was like, surrender, let go. And the last thing for me to let go of was like the business. Now, when I came to the point of like, okay, I'll let this go, and then my community really didn't know what I was going through, and I was able to keep that all pretty hidden, which was part of me being in the shadow side of my wealth code. And we would do a lot of work in my programs around the shadow side of your wealth code, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. But I didn't realize at the time that's what was going on. I was stuck in part of the shadow side of my wealth code. Number one, I was incredibly independent from a very early age because I had to be. Now, that's great skills, but that didn't allow me to receive wealth and abundance like I can now because I know how to receive now. That experience took me to my knees. Also, I was doing too much of the business alone. I didn't have the kind of support it really takes to hold all of that up and have it really flourish. And again, part of the shadow side of my wealth code. I later figured that out. But in that moment, I really had to let the center go. I had asked my community for help, and they just warmed my heart and helped me. I felt very exposed, and I felt very loved. And I want you to all know that when you are in a place of I was just in a very, very vulnerable place, but there's a big strength in opening to your vulnerability because your vulnerability literally means you're open. And it's scary because you don't know what's going to happen or if your emotions are going to come up or if you're going to be received. But also, this is when some of the biggest magic happens. So if you're in one of these places that I call the dark night of your soul, you want to get on your knees and you want to take that deep look within. You want to get the help that you need. So what happened for me was my community supported me for a little while, and I did have to let the center go. There's more to the story, but I'm just going to – here's the important part. In letting it go, I just vowed to myself that, okay, I'm going to figure this out. I knew it was with me. What's not working? So I dove into my spiritual work, my Vedic astrology, even deeper. And in my Vedic astrology, even, it had me going through a very, very challenging time, a time where one could lose everything. Now, loss is an ego perception, and transcendence is a spiritual perception. So if I look at it as loss, I could say, okay, well, my ego would say, wow, I'm losing a whole lot, which I was. I lost a lot of money, a lot of time, a lot of work. But really, the spiritual perception was it was time for me to transcend this. It was time for me to shift this and move to a different level. So in that work, what happened was I discovered your sacred wealth code. I discovered where I was off, and I wasn't fully aligned with my gifts, even though I was using a lot of them. I was on purpose. I was training teachers. I was, I was doing this purposeful work. But I was also in the shadow side. I was stuck in overgiving. I was stuck in being too independent and doing it all on my own, not being able to receive help. So I let all that go, and within about a six-month period of time, I was able to turn it all around. When I figured this out, I hired a heart-centered business coach. I hired my I went back to work with my Vedic astrologer, with my spiritual mentor, and I got an assistant. I got a team. I borrowed money to do it, and I started where I was. I didn't start like grandiose, but I started to really step in and use my gifts. I started working with people who wanted to do the deep work that I was here for, not just the one-time class thing, people who were committed. And within 6 months, I was able to significantly come out of that loss that I just did and was able to up-level my income and have been, it has just continued to up-level in a big way. And I could continue to learn, to step out of
that's
what
a great, holds me back. That's a great story, Prema. Oh, that's a great story. We are running out of time. We're talking today to Prema Lee Guerrieri and about her book, Your Sacred Wealth Code, Unlock Your Soul Blueprint for Purpose and Prosperity. Prema, can you leave us, we have about a minute or two, can you leave us with one more thing that you think is the most important thing that we should know about our sacred wealth code?
Yeah. Everything is inside of you. All the answers are inside of you, and your sacred wealth code will help you get there. There's archetypes that within the sacred wealth code that you can embody and understand that really give you a gateway into your gifts, and you can discover that in your sacred wealth code. Your gifts are inside you. So take one gift that you know that you have today, just one of your gifts, and start to use that gift, whatever it is, just in whatever you're doing today, start to use that one gift and start to fan the flames of it and nurture it and notice what happens for you because you are gifted and the world wants
you. That's a great message. Great message. Okay, and your book, Your Sacred Wealth Code, is available in Amazon and normal, you know, the normal
It's available, absolutely, Amazon, Ingram. But you can go to sacredwealthcode.com, get it there, and get a bunch of free gifts, and also take your Sacred Wealth Code quiz to get one of your archetypes, sacredwealthcode.com.
Okay, perfect. And to contact you, how do people reach you?
SacredWealthCode.com will work just as well. You can just go there, and there's a contact that will come right up on that page for you.
Okay. Perfect. Wow. This is really an amazing concept. And I'm sure that a lot of people, that it, you know, sometimes you hear things in just a way that resonates with you. And I hope that for those who are out there struggling, that something about this resonated with you and released you from being held back. So I think it's very important, Prema, what you're doing, and thank you so much for your work. It's incredible.
Thank you, and thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. And thanks for the work that you're doing in the world and holding the space you are for the transformation you're holding for people.
Thank you. Wow. It takes a... like they say, it takes a village, but it takes more than that. It takes a universe.
It takes a universe.
Or an earth. Yes. Something like that. All right. Well, I hope you have a wonderful day.
Thank you. You too. Much love. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye. So we are out of time for today, but if you have any comments or questions about today's show, you can email me at loveyourlife@randygfine.com. And that's about all I have for you today. May joy and serenity always be yours. Goodbye.
We hope you enjoyed today's programming. To learn more about Randy Fine, read her articles, or to make a counseling appointment with her, please visit randygfine.com. That's RANDIGFINE.com. Or visit her on Facebook at Randy G. Fine.